We've been privileged to have Brother Graham Foran here for the last couple of weeks. He came in to be with his family and to help out with a bunch of things, and we were just the benefactor of getting to spend some time with him, be around him. Brother Graham is a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and I've gotten enjoyed getting to know him. And you, of course, known him for years and served here on staff. And it's just a blessing to be sent out of a church. And I know that he would say the other way, it's a blessing to have a church to be sent out of, and I certainly understand that. But it's wonderful to have a part of somebody's ministry when they're out doing something, and you get the privilege of giving. Our faith promise supports him, of course, and we're thankful for that, but our prayers behind him as well. And then he gets to come in from time to time and just support or give us updates, and we're able to continue that love and encouragement, I hope, that we have been to him. And so I just thought, before he goes back, in which he's going to leave tomorrow, and we wanted to just have him come, and I told him to take as much time as he wants, because I want our church to be in the know of what's going on, more than just a missionary update video that comes in, and we're thankful for all those, but just so you can know his heart and how to pray for him and how to support him, and he knows that we're behind him, and then that we know that as well, that we're supportive of him. So I'm going to ask him to come and just take as much time as he wants. Brother Foran, you come, and Foran, be here with us. And so it's such a joy to have you and your wife with us. Your wife is always an encouragement as I preach, and somebody told you that today. I know that it was good to have your wife. Somebody gave announcements up here, I think, and she is an encouragement, and it's good to see you back there, but we'll be glad you're in Brazil as well. But come take your time.
I have a great wife. One of the few really smart things I ever did in my life. Let me just say, before I say anything else, thanks so much. I know I often have expressed my appreciation of the church, but it was such a blessing to have this place to stop in, the apartment over there close by, so that we could give some assistance to Nathan's family. Thank you for praying for Nathan, for the food you brought over. I know they're grateful for it. We ate a lot of it while we were here too as well. Nathan's here tonight. Praise the Lord for that. We warned people that he might be coming, and I would just say, he still is a little, he's wobbly on his feet, and he may still be a little bit susceptible. So maybe you can greet him without hugging him, and say how glad you are that he's back from a safe distance. I'd hate for him to catch a cold right now or something else. You understand. But I'm so glad he's back with us. We were afraid he was going to wait for us in heaven just a short time ago. So let me just say, Pastor invited me to say something, and so what missionary doesn't want to say something? it's his fault, not mine. So, but folks, and the pastor touched on this already, this is biblical what we're doing. In Acts chapter 13, God reached down into the church and called people that were already working and serving the Lord. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the church to separate from their local ministry the Apostle Paul, called Saul at the time, and Barnabas, to go and begin church planting around that area of Asia Minor and Europe. And they would come back. Acts chapter 15 tells us they came back and reported to the church what they had done. And then they went out again, confirming the churches, establishing pastors, and doing the work of the ministry. Paul always was connected with local churches, and he was the beneficiary of prayer and support from his sending church. So back in 1986, the Lord, actually 1985, about October, the Lord reached down and called us from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to go to Brazil. And in 1986, we began our deputation, and we got our money raised. The Lord held us here for just a little bit longer. And in January of 1988, we began working in Brazil. Our job in Brazil is to establish autonomous, indigenous, independent Baptist churches. And let me just take a minute and talk about that, because that's what we're doing. Our work in Brazil right now with the Grace Baptist Church in, where do we live, honey? Cochia, São Paulo, in Jardim Japão, that's the name of the neighborhood. Grace Baptist Church, Igreja Batista da Graça, We're establishing in that place, number one, an autonomous church. Now, the point of missions is not to go out and form little groups of people that are forever dependent upon the missionary and the missionary's money and the missionary's experience and the missionary's ministry. We're establishing an autonomous church. That means a church that is able to support itself financially, that they can pay their pastor's salary, they can support their own ministry, that they can evangelize, that they can do all the kinds of work that we would do here, and all of this run by and funded by the local people. It's an autonomous church. And this autonomous church is also self-propagating. That is that they do what we do. They support missions, they evangelize, they do discipling, they win people to Christ, they baptize them, and they send people out to do the same thing. One of the great blessings of our ministry is the approaching 40 people that the Lord's called out of our works there that are today in full-time Christian ministry. Amen. And they're self-governing. They call me Will because they can't say Graham. It comes out very, very awkward. So they call me Will, Pastor Will. And though they love Pastor Will and Dona Henata, they call Renee Henata because Renee is a man's name, so it's very confusing to them. And we don't believe in that kind of thing. So Dona Henata and Pastor Will are loved, and God has given us the hearts of Brazilian people. We make friends wherever we go, lifelong, wonderful friends. But they're not depending on Pastor Will to make their decisions, to call their pastor, to tell them what to do. Now, we're always available, and I've been called in from time to time. We had a pastor who called me one day and said, Brother Graham, I have done something wrong. And it wasn't a grievous error in the sense of, you know, we think of ministry-ending sin. But he said, I am subject to church discipline. He said, I was gossiping. And it was a serious infraction because it involved other people, and he felt like he had hurt the church through his attitude. And so he called me, and the church invited me to come in and preside over the church discipline. So there are times we step in. We're there. We're their friends. We're their counselors. Occasionally there's an issue. Something comes up that's really, really complicated. I'm able to help them out when they ask. But the church is self-governing. When we leave a church, I don't go back, usually unless I'm invited. There have been a rare occasion that we've been local, been close by, and we just dropped in and said, hey. But when we leave the church, it's their church. And Pastor Will is their friend and counselor, but the pastor doesn't have to worry about me coming along behind and criticizing him or taking sides with his members against him. Problem comes up, they talk to me, I say, the people come to me and says, Pastor Will, I say, talk to your pastor. It's a self-governing, autonomous, and self-propagating, self-supporting church. That's what we're doing in Brazil. And thank the Lord, we've been able to do that. We're in our sixth church plant now. These churches are indigenous. They're not little American churches. Now, there's Americans that helped them found it, and thank the Lord for America and missionaries sent out from America and from Canada and from England and other places that are still sending missionaries. Most of our missionary resources today seem to be coming from South Korea. Well, praise the Lord for the South Koreans. But we're establishing indigenous churches. They're Brazilian churches. And so when we leave, guess what happens? They start doing things a little differently. Now, they none of them have started doing things that I think are wrong. But you know what? I go back and I think, okay, that's a pretty good idea. I kind of like that too. Indigenous, it means it's national in its orientation, national in its leadership. And they're independent Baptist churches. We love everybody who preaches the gospel. I'm not the enemy of anybody who's telling people about Christ, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. They may be from other denominations, they may be from other groups, but we're grateful for all of those that are preaching the gospel around the world. But I also believe that the independent Baptist voice ought to be heard too. I think we have something to add to the mix. I'm delighted in, I have many Southern Baptist friends that I've met over the years, and they're doing great work with their ministries. They're missionaries still. There's not many of them in Brazil, but a number of people that have had a great impact on Brazil and around the world. Wonderful. I appreciate books that are written, and there are a lot of excellent people who are preaching the gospel, but I think we have something to say too. And so we're grateful that as we've established these churches, they continue to be independent Baptist fundamentalist churches. And with the right attitude, loving and out, reaching out to their community, I want our churches to be kind of the churches that the neighborhood knows loves them. I think I told them my last trip through here, the principal of the school where we met for almost 5 years called me when she heard about a family in the neighborhood that needed help. And we went there, and we're still ministering. We bought socks for the family today. I mean, they're that poor. They really are in difficult straits. But we want to be the kind of people that people, first of all, think about our love for them and our ability to reach them. It's a great ministry, what's going on. This is a great outreach. We need to be doing these things. And that's the kind of churches we want to be establishing. So autonomous, self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing, indigenous, independent Baptist churches. Now, where are we right now? Well, we are about halfway through, I think, in this stage. We have a national pastor, praise the Lord, for Pastor Rodrigo. I wish you could all meet him. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy. He loves us. He treats us like a son would treat a father. He is, the people of the church love him. They have just bonded with he and his wife. They're so smart. They're so much smarter than I am. I'm at the stage of my life, I'm starting to say, good job, keep going. I don't know that I'm teaching them a whole lot now, except perhaps maybe by example. So we've got that part down. That's one of the parts of necessities of having an indigenous, self-supporting, self-propagating church. Financially, the church has still got a ways to go. We need to grow financially, and part of that means growing physically. The COVID pandemic, just like everywhere, all your missionaries are crying, telling the same story. We are in our building. The first phase, I thought maybe it would carry us a bit longer than it has, but the church has been growing, and we're just packed out. We've got room for about 60 people, and basically we're running that on any given Sunday. The Sunday school classes are all occupied. We need to build our second story, which is our auditorium. It'll seat about 120 people when it's completed. We have about two-thirds of the money that we estimated it would take to get the basic work done, but we have been unable to get our building permit. And this, we put in this process months ago now. Our architect said, 3 weeks, you'll have it. We got another architect to build the ramp because we have to have access for handicap. And that architect said, she's from Sao Paulo. He said, I live here. It'll take you 3 months at least to get it. So if his estimate was right, then we have maybe another few weeks before it comes out. Pray that that'll happen because we have men working on the steel for the supports in the roof. They'll go up the walls and then form the roof. We've got building supplies purchased. We have money in the bank. It won't be all we need, but it'll get us started. And if we can get the roof up and the walls up, even if we got holes in the wall for where the windows are going to go, we'll start holding services. So pray that that'll happen. We need probably in the neighborhood of $12,000-$15,000. But pray for this permission to build. Prices are going crazy, just like here, for building stuff. And if we could have built, 6 months ago, we could have probably saved thousands of dollars. Well, the Lord knows about that. It's out of our control, so it's in His hands. We're having an event for children, October 2nd. A lady has donated Because of the pandemic, she hadn't been having other events. She owns all these inflatables, so she's going to bring them out, and we'll be setting them up. We're right on the main road of the neighborhood. There are 10,000 people that go in and out in front of our church anytime they come in or go out of the neighborhood. It's a wonderful place. Right down the road on the left, they're building another neighborhood. There'll be hundreds of people living in that neighborhood, very nice homes going in there. We're in a strategic location. So pray for the Grace Baptist Church in Cochia, Caucaia do Alto, and may God bless you and help you in your ministry for Him. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, I just wanted Brother Graham to come and share with all of us, so we better know how to pray, because here is there are several facets of why I want him to just update us, and that is sometimes we think missionaries are strange people. And Miss Foreign may still think that about the one she knows the best. But sometimes we think they're these strange people that come out of nowhere, somewhere or other, but then they come into our church and ask us to take them on for support, which they do. But they had to come from somebody's church. So they used to be sitting beside somebody like you. Maybe they were the youth director, and maybe they weren't. Maybe they were somebody that helped in some other ministry. And usually it's a strange thing if nobody's doing nothing and then they all of a sudden say, I'm going to go to the foreign field. I want to change my life completely. Usually they're the busiest people in the church. But I wanted him to come because we need to see that for not only our young folks, but for everybody else as well. You may not have as many years as he has now given to Brazil left to serve somewhere, but there's lots of folks, I meet them different times throughout the year, that surrender to the Lord in their later years of life, after they've already retired from a position somewhere, and they say, I can't do it necessarily like I would have if I was 30 or 20, but I can go do something. And so I wanted him to come for that reason, but then I also want him to come just so we know better how to pray behind him, and I want us to be going to God for Brother Foreign and his wife, and as they continue in the ministry, and it's just exciting to have a part of what they're doing. And so financially, we do. I don't know exactly right now what the amount that comes to him out of our faith promise, but every week when you give the faith promise, or every month, or however you do it, there's a portion of it that Bert writes the checks out, and a good portion goes to the Foreign's ministry. And so when we're not doing anything, the work down in Brazil is going forward. And so this is, I'm not trying to give you a sales pitch to give to missions. I just want to show you the biblical model of the way it is, that people are going where we aren't, and then we're going to do what we can where we are to help them where they are. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm so thankful for Brother Foreign. I want you to say, give him a good farewell tonight, and let him know that you'll certainly be praying for him. The other reason I am so thankful that he touched on this, because the Bible says in Matthew, as the Great Commission is given, and we've hit it greatly over the last couple of months because of the missions emphasis, but the Great Commission given in Matthew 28, verse number 19, tells us to go therefore, go ye therefore. We all know it as well. You can turn there. It's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. These are the marching orders for, I was going to say the church, but really the all of us Christians. The church is the collective group that's supposed to get it done in a more organized fashion. But Jesus gives the command to go therefore, teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 20, teaching them, which is what Brother Foreign just said, teaching them, the people that he's reached, the people that have been reached the gospel of the churches that the Lord has allowed him to start. And if you can take it and you see a willing participant, Brother Graham Foreign and his wife, as they head out, willing participant to take the gospel in verse number 19, go ye therefore, teach all nations, some places that didn't have some churches that needed them. Baptizing them, he's been involved in that. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And then he's continued or completely taken all the way around, teaching them to observe all things. And that's when he said, well, we want to be a biblical church. We want them to be a church that obeys the Scripture, stays doctrinally pure. We're teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he would attest to the end of the verse, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There's never been a time that Graham Bourne or Renee Foran had thought, I'm all by myself down here, because the Lord has truly been with them all the way. Now, you and I both know that times get dark, and sometimes we have to get to a place where we remind ourselves that he's with us, because for a while we're like that little boy that wanted his dad to come down so bad to where his room was, because it was storming and lightning and thunder, and he hollered. He said, I'm here. And he said, besides all that, Jesus is here. Jesus is with you. And he said, Daddy, that's good, but I want somebody with skin on him. And I can't say that there's not been some times when the foreigners have thought, well, we don't have anyone. But then they've come back, like David said, and encouraged himself in the Lord and got back to a place where, no, God is with us ever in an everlasting fashion. So he's seen this verse play out. And so tonight, the gospel has been given at this church for a long time. Of course, you know our history, most of us. Gospel has been given out for a long time. But here we've had the privilege of not only supporting a missionary that came from Calvary Baptist Church up in Virginia or North Carolina or somewhere else, but one that really that served right here along with us. And now these 30-some years ago, he's launched out, and we've been able to be a part of this. He's done what verse number 19 has said. He's taught them. He's shown them the gospel. He's baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's taught them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He's taught them the Word of God to stay true to the doctrines of the Scriptures. And then he's moved on and done it again. And all through that process, he has had the support of our church and others, thank God. But I just thought, what a beautiful picture tonight for our church to get to see. So maybe you're a teenager tonight, and you've seen somebody who was a former youth director here at the church that God tapped and said, I want you to do something more than what you're currently doing here in the States. Perhaps you're a middle age, younger age, whatever age, and God's saying, I may not be able to have as much time as Graham Foran had. But God knows all the timing, and he's putting something on my heart to get involved with. You know, we just had Garvin Walls texting me before the service about a few things. And, of course, we just voted a couple weeks ago to take them on for the printing ministry over in Oliver Springs. And there's ministries here, there's ministries there, there's ministries closer than that that would love to have a able-bodied retiree that would come and say, I can help you a couple days a week. Folks, there's all kinds of things that we can do for the gospel's sake. And so tonight, I just felt like we ought to, number one, let Brother Form report, to not for reporting's sake, but for information's sake, so we can better know how to pray. And then remind us that this is what needs to happen. If somebody would come to me as the pastor and say, Pastor, I feel like God's leading me to do this. You know, immediately the pastor in me thinks, oh boy, if you're doing this, this, and this here, then we're going to have to get that replaced by somebody. But that's a erroneous thinking. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers. And so the Lord will send forth laborers here and to go there. And so I want us to pray that God would raise up more people like Graham Foran that would launch out and do all that God has for him and her. And so as we think about that tonight, the message is clear. I believe we've seen the biblical model in practice. And I want us tonight to end up our session, our service here, just in prayer as the foreigners go back and we send them back again, that they might know, they might know that there's a church family that stands behind them. And I want to also tag on to the end of that I have no idea what the Lord will do in this revival meeting. It could be that on the heels of tonight, and we come back tomorrow night and Tuesday night, that God would so burden some person in this room right here that he would decide, she would decide that, yes, God wants me to go into mission work. And we could always look back at this revival meeting as the time that God lit a fire in the heart of someone to go forward for him. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? So I'd like for us to do this. I'm going to ask the piano, the ladies, the instrumentalists to come and just play. And then I'm just going to have a couple men of our church just to come. Brother Dan, would you mind coming on up? And we'll have Brother Dan start off in prayer. And we'll do invitation time just a little different. Daniel will be right down here. And we start off by saying what Graham Foran has done in Brazil. He's preached the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What he's taught them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, but you know that there's something happening in your heart, your innermost desires and thoughts and self, that something's got to change. What's got to change is you need Jesus Christ. And as we're praying, then Daniel, the assistant pastor, Brother Daniel will be down here, and he'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home. But to everybody that's home folk here, you're saved, you know the Lord. I want you to be in unison praying for the foreigners as they head back and resend them back out with our blessings and with our support and with our good congratulations and thanks for what they're doing in the Lord's work. So, Brother Dan, would you mind starting us off in prayer? And as he prays, as soon as he gets done praying, I should say, then the ladies are going to play, and then we'll stand together. And then if the Lord wants you to come and pray around the altar for the foreigners as they head back, or maybe some other spiritual need you have, then we'll certainly open up the altar for you, and you're welcome to come. Brother Dan, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way that you have chosen to use your servant, Brother Graham, Miss Renee. Lord, my prayer tonight is that we might have the faith of Abraham. Perhaps there's someone in this room, and immediately when we hear words of turning your life over or answering a call, then our mind and our heart starts playing games with us. And we start thinking of all the scenarios. But Lord, I pray that tonight in this room, as a church, as an individual, may we have the faith of Abraham. Not knowing where he was going, he said, yes, I'll go. May we also have the faith of Noah, having not seen rain, having never built a boat, he chose to obey. May we have the determination of Paul, even after having messed up as he did, once he converted to Christ, it was obvious that everything that he had been doing up until that point was against God. And yet you chose to use him. May that not be an obstacle tonight. Heavenly Father, may we just be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. We know that you use obedience and willingness. May we be that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. You can look this way. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent to close us in prayer. And you say it's been an unusual service. I was trying to find the Lord in all of it and see what the Lord would lead us to do. And so Larry Russell, of course, you know our ushers have our offering plates back there. But Larry Russell's got one a little separate from the others back by the columns. And the Forens will be traveling tomorrow. The Grahams, the Graham Forens, whatever they are. They'll be traveling tomorrow, and I know they've incurred a lot of expenses just being here, and so Larry's got an offering plate that's separate from the regular ushers right here at the doors, and he's back by the columns, Larry Russell. So if you'd like to, if you're led to give something, help with some of the travel expenses, help with what's going on, whatever it is, then you just drop that in the plate that Larry's got. We'll have kind of a retreat offering, and we'll be a blessing to the Forens as they go, and trust that you'll be praying for them and letting them know. And we are so glad to see Nathan back there, as Graham mentioned, maybe just greeting from afar. We don't want to overwhelm him or anything, but so good to see him. And then we ask already this morning, but who will be praying for that revival that starts tomorrow night? If you can't come, I understand. You got to be working and things, but folks, I'm not joking. It could be that God does something special in your heart tomorrow night. You say, well, I don't want to come. I don't want him to call me to missions. If God wants you to do something, you don't want to not do it. And so come tomorrow night. And then on a more whimsical note, after service, we'll have RC Cola moon pies. So if you don't come for any other reason, come for the good snacks afterwards. We're living in high cotton around here, Brother Foreign. You're just getting out at the wrong time. And but boy, it's getting high class around here. Tomorrow night, I'll have that after the service, and we'll have a good time of fellowship. But as Brother Larry Trent prays, he's been a deacon for a long time and has been supportive of missions for a long time. As he prays, you pray for the Forens as they head out. T-shirt if you ordered one. It's in the blue room. Tomorrow night, we'll be praying at 6:30. And from then on, if you want to come slip in and pray, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night for the revival.